I was watching this story last night on NBC News, research by Microsoft regarding this Storm 1516. Have you heard about Storm 1516? It is known for producing misleading videos featuring on-screen or voice actors who impersonate whistleblowers or journalists that share false, scandalous information. Let's talk to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine about this, because Joe, according to U.S. officials, this Russia's behind this, and their goal is to exacerbate political divisions here and weaken public support for American military aid to Ukraine. This is another reason to just be careful when you're getting information from the internet. You're better off with getting it from the elevator here in our building. What are you hearing about all that, Joseph?
I would agree. Listen to WGN or talk in the elevator in WGN offices. Hello from Lviv. This is a common topic here is, the effects of Russian propaganda. In fact, there's a major story circulating today, especially on X/Twitter, which I'll mention in a second. But I think, the one thing that the propagandists, the main thing they seek to do is to confuse people. And so to undermine people's belief that they can figure out the truth about something. And whenever they see, we see this in America. Ultimately, the good part of this is that ultimately every person gets to choose what you believe and what you react to and how you react. And I think that sort of gets forgotten. Like when we hear all the conversations about whether or not, to what degree has Russia influenced our elections? There's all kinds of influences on our elections, both internally and externally. And ultimately, it comes down to the strength of our ability to talk with each other in the elevator or in the cafes. And I think as long as we speak with each other, that's actually the most powerful tool against propaganda. And I've seen that, hearing the stories here in Ukraine. But even, before that, when I was at University of Notre Dame, and I was fortunate to have many great mentors who stood up to tyranny, political philosophers and political activists, friends of Václav Havel, for example, who led the Czech people when they overthrew communism in the Velvet Revolution in 1989. And, all of those successful efforts to overthrow tyranny were because people talked with each other, often in secret, because you couldn't go in public because every place was bugged. But it was only by being able to have conversations that they could resist the propaganda. And I think that's something that I think Americans, need to remember, because if we can't talk with each other, we will be very susceptible to this. And one example is all over X today, especially, on one side of the spectrum, are videos from a central Ukrainian city, Cherkasy, on the right bank of the Dnipro River. And it's an Orthodox church. And if you watch the video, you see all kinds of chaos in the church, tear gas, people throwing things, people throwing parts of pews. And it's violent. And when I first saw this on X this morning, what I'm seeing Americans, American interpretation of these videos is that the Ukrainians were attacking, pro-Ukraine people in Ukraine were attacking innocent Russian churchgoers in central Ukraine. But actually, then I talked to people, and the real story beyond the propaganda is that, we've had this long-standing problem here where you have the Russian Orthodox Church and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And the Russian Orthodox Church has been the imperial force here going back for centuries. And with the communists, the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, the church was made illegal, but then Stalin brought it back. And even, so the Ukrainians have been resisting this imperial culture and religion forced upon them by Moscow. And after 2 years of this big war, finally the Ukrainian parliament said any church affiliated with Moscow, needs to stop that affiliation. And they gave him about 8 months to do so. And so this particular church in central Ukraine today, a huge cathedral, St. Michael, today was the day they were transitioning. And they were preparing for the first time, probably in centuries, to have prayers in the Ukrainian language. And while people were in the church, people that support the Moscow Patriarchy started entering the church in violence, throwing things and using tear gas, and it led to a major kerfuffle. But I think, so this is being portrayed as Ukraine is not a country of free you know, free religion. But you actually have to look and say, you know, this is exactly part of what Ukrainians have been resisting. They're so tired of having to always be under the thumb of Moscow, even when it comes to their religion. And but the Russians can take that, you know, and all you got to do is show a video of violence in a church, and people are already tired of all the spending for Ukraine. And that's enough to make people, you know, say, hey, what are we doing over there? And so once that's a perfect example of how the Russian propaganda can take something very simple. And you look right now, how long did it take me, Bob, to tell that story, to correct the propaganda?
Right.
And that's why it's so difficult.
Yes, I know. And once it's out there, and the crazier the story, the bigger the chance it'll go viral. What do you make of the news today that North Korea is now providing military aid to Moscow's army and also workers for the Russian factories to replace Russians killed in the war?
You know, a lot of people in Europe who pay attention to what's happening in Ukraine are astounded by this because, I mean, there are North Korean soldiers on European soil. It's extraordinary fighting now. And there's more training, according to the reports. And so a lot of people that support Ukraine, including throughout Europe, are saying, how is this not a big deal? And in fact, in Berlin, the German opposition leader, Friedrich Merz, he's a chairman of the Christian Democrats, and he's in opposition to the chancellor, Olaf Scholz. And he gave the speech today. He said, we should not be afraid of Putin. We should give Putin 24 hours to stop the bombing of Ukraine. And if he does not fulfill this demand, we should immediately give Ukraine all the necessary weapons, including the Taurus, and lift all restrictions on their use. Because Germany has, like the United States, one of the most powerful types of weapons that really can make a big impact. The United States has given their HIMARS to Ukraine, some of them. Germany has something similar called the Taurus, and they have a lot of them, and they have so far have given none of them to Ukraine. They have a long range. They could help disrupt Russian supply lines and missile launch points, and Germany has refused. You know, Germany, by the way, you know, has made lots of money, you know, profited from Russian oil many years before this, before 2022. And now I think the turning point here for some of these politicians is the fact that they're, you know, it's a small number, but the optics of it, North Korean soldiers on European soil fighting Europeans, fighting Ukrainians. And so we have this very, as Zelensky is making his pitch in Brussels, we had this very powerful statement to great applause, but also to some booing in the German parliament that let's make an ultimatum, 24 hours, Putin, stop bombing Ukraine, or Germany is going to give everything they can to turn this around. And so far, there's no response from the chancellor.
We'll see what happens. We're fortunate to get our Ukraine war news from you, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow. Or the elevator.
Yeah, right.